Dude, let me tell you this. I got so many rhymes, people think I'm a nursery book. Yeah. And that's what I meant to say.
Welcome to the Elevate Podcast.
Here we go!
Today we continue our D-Factor series with a message by Pastor Jay called The Determined Factor.
This is podcast number 29. My name is Juno Garcia. I'm coming to you live from C-Town, Texas. And the title of the cast...
You're going to get a sunburn up here, huh?
Hey, man, I'm trying to do the intro, dude. You interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
It is the decision...
It was a light. The aura for me was blinding Shelly there. I'm going to go turn down the lights.
You going to turn down the lights? Oh, should I do the intro? Should I, like, introduce everybody? No, I mean, not the intro again. I mean,
yeah, introduce us real quick. Yes.
Okay, sitting right in front of me in a chair that's higher than mine, and I don't like that because then I have to look up to him, and then that gets into his brain, and he thinks I'm looking up to him, but yeah. And that's what I meant to say. So, sitting in front of me is Pastor Jay Curl, Jason Curley. Pastor Jay, you have so many names. I just call you... him. I couldn't think of anything there, dude. Man, I blew it! Sitting to my left, that is the left hand, yeah, left, is Miss Shelly Stokes. Okay. Help me out here, dude. You're looking at me like if I'm
just I'm waiting choking. On you to be done, dude.
I'm done. I'll stop talking.
Tonight was a great night. We are in the middle of a D-Factor series, and Shelly...
What?
Shelly's going to read the big idea.
Oh, what was the big idea?
Because we always Shelly give out Stokes. The big idea, because that's what this thing is all
Shelly
about
Stokes.
Tonight.
Shelly
tonight,
Stokes.
Oh, my bad.
Tonight our message was called The Determined Factor. We're right in the middle of our series, The D Factor, which is all about decisions. And so tonight, this was our big idea.
Reaching my destiny by being determined.
Reaching my destiny by being determined. And also, to throw in there as well, is that we need to live a cause bigger than ourselves. When we live a cause bigger than ourselves, we'll reach our destiny.
Oh, dude, my Junoism is going to go hand in hand.
Well, let's do it.
Oh, you want to do it now?
Yeah, let's go.
For real? Okay, check it out. See, the thing is, I'm going to let people in on what I've been doing. For the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been sending out text messages to majority of the people on my phone book.
That was about 10.
Whatever, dude.
Okay.
I'm up to like 30.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Just checking.
That's pretty good.
I'm one of them. You know, Shelly's another. Okay. Probably Rachel.
Rachel's not here tonight. What are the crickets? The crickets are
hold
coming
on,
back.
Hold on. You guys, take a listen to Rachel's mic. Isn't that awesome? That's what happens when you're
it.
Not here.
I love
That's
it.
Why I've made all 29 episodes.
No, you have not. I don't know how to do the crickets. There was that one where you were sick and I did it by myself, remember?
Oh, that's right. I called in.
No.
I called in that night.
Ooh, Shelly got mad because I said I was by myself. No, I'm of course not.
Oh.
Yes, that's all that counts. That's, yes.
I see how it is, huh?
What?
Okay, so Junoism.
Okay, the Junoism. So I'll just say it the way I wrote it. Now, bear with me. It's pretty good. Okay? Okay, check it out. This is kind of serious. Most will get to the top by their ability, but it's their lack of compassion that will make it a very lonely place. On your journey to the top, make sure to take someone with you.
That's pretty cool because I actually did a post the other day on my blog that was just about that same thing, about taking people on the journey with you. So I know where you got your stuff.
There you go, brother. There you go. Some good stuff, man.
Because I sent that to all my leaders.
Wait.
I don't even know if you... Did you even read that?
Are you implying that I got it from you?
I'm implying that you got that from me.
You're crazy. You know that I have not turned on.
Did you not read that post?
Well, then that's amazing. Because you know that I haven't turned on my computer in the past 2 weeks.
No, that's what you just are saying.
Are
you
serious?
That's what you're just telling us that. I think you're saying that you started telling me that on Sunday, and you probably said that because you saw my post and you thought, I'm going to go ahead and steal this one, and
are you
I've got to set
credit?
It up and make him think that I haven't read it.
Are you taking credit for my Junoism the same way someone took credit for my Junoism last week?
There wasn't a Junoism last week. I don't know what you're talking about.
There wasn't a Junoism last week. Well, then what was there? What exactly?
We had a Shelley tidbit.
What?
We had
Are
a
you serious?
Shelley tidbit last week. Just like we had a J-ism a couple of weeks ago. Shelley had some wise stuff, dude.
What? Oh, man. I'm getting bamboozled here.
See, because we made a decision.
I think you two are in cahoots.
We made a decision, Shelley and I.
I think you two are in cahoots against me.
That when you're not here, you don't get credit for the Junoism.
Most will make it to the top by their ability, but it's their lack of compassion that will make it a very, very lonely place.
That's good Junoism.
That's pretty good, man.
And that's really true, you know, because really when you talk about teams and life and church and the whole nine yards, it's about the journey and it's about the people that are on the journey with you. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote a post that other day and talked about...
Sorry, dude. Shelly just cleared her nose, and it was all up on the mic. So, ow, don't kick me.
And it is about the journey, and I'm always glad, you know, and I'm really glad here, the people that are on the journey with me.
Like myself.
It's almost like two kids in the back fighting and throwing things at each other.
I mean, if I wasn't around, dude, I don't know if it would get done, you know, because, you know...
You take too much credit for yourself.
And with Shelley, you know, wiping snot all over the place, it really doesn't...
So tonight we were talking about the determined factor, and let me ask you guys, and lady, Shelley, we'll throw the mic to Shelley, because Shelley now has a voice on this thing. Just want to let you know, don't say nothing. Shelley, being determined, you know, we were talking about being determined tonight, and... Being determined is about being passionate about something and how that drives your decisions. Last week, you were telling us about a new decision you made. And you've had a whole week to reflect.
This is interesting.
You've had a whole week to reflect on that decision. And then you told me some other news tonight. And how does being passionate about something, how does that play into... making a decision. Like, tell me your example.
I'm all ears.
Like your example today that you were telling me. That you made a decision that you didn't like something because you're not passionate about it, right? Talk to us.
I got a job as a file clerk, and I decided that's not a good job for me because I don't like it because I can't sit and file all day. So I'm not passionate about it.
And so you're making a decision about your destiny, that you're not going to be a file clerk, right?
That's right. I'm above such things.
Oh.
Not that there's anything wrong with those who file clerks.
Yeah, if you're out there and
Not that there's anything wrong with those who file clerks out there. Because isn't that what a file clerk is?
File clerks.
Oh. Oh, sorry.
You clerk files.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
And Juno, you know, what do you think when about the things you're passionate about? How does that play into making the decision?
What do you
put
mean
him on the spot? Put what him on mean? The spot. See that?
Well, what's the question?
How does passionate being determined play into the decision making process?
Passion drives your decision. You know, you're not going to do something that you're not passionate about. You're not going to want to, let me think, you're not going to want to file all day and be bored all day if it's not something that you like to do. But there's probably somebody out there who has a passion for having those things in order, and that's something that they love to do, and they find joy of waking up in the morning and doing that all day. You know? It's all about the love and the passion that you have within inside of you.
Can you guys think of a decision that you made personally that was really driven by what you're passionate about? Can y'all think of anything? More crickets?
Yes,
you seem to get that smelly mic each week, don't you?
Well, this is Josh's mic. Josh, our praise and worship singer, dude.
I personally don't smell mics.
Dude, how can you not? This is like rank, man.
This is my mic.
That
I don't have good olfactories anyway.
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. You totally put that thing up to your nostrils.
But this is my mic.
Hey, whatever, dude. If you
actually, you were using this tonight.
That's true.
That was disgusting.
Burn that dude.
Anyway.
Passionate. I don't know.
As a teenager, maybe.
Perfect. I got one. I'm passionate. I've been passionate for the past couple months of wanting to show compassion and wanting to help other people. And, I mean, I don't know where it came from. It really hit me hard these past couple months of just showing some kind of love and trying to encourage others. And that's, I think, kind of what sparked these text messages that I've been sending out on an everyday basis throughout the week. Trying to do my best to somewhat give some kind of wisdom, some kind of encouraging words, something to other people. And what I'm finding out is that it's kind of contagious, man. Because the people that I'm sending them out to, I'm getting back that they are sending them out to all of their friends. So who knows how far these are going, you know, that just because for some reason I've decided, you know what, I'm going to show a little bit more compassion. I'm going to try and pour into somebody else. That's what drives me. I want to try and pour into someone. And, you know, who knows where this is going, you know? I mean, who...
You know, with the whole 6 degrees of separation thing, we may hear it in the president's speech or something.
Dude, that would be so amazing, dude. That would be so awesome.
That would really go to his head, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. I would call up George W. and say, look, buddy, Junoism. You're a Junoite. You know, he probably is a Junoite. If you really think about it, he probably is.
But you see, here's my case in this. This is why you got to compose it.
Compose it.
You're doing them on the text messages, but you're not composing them into a form that can be, you know, there for...
I'm telling y'all, Miss Stokes
This week, my goal is to help poor Juno here. And we're gonna get him a blog.
Create it.
And even if you have to text message it to Shelley and Shelley does it for you.
There you go.
Maybe you know what? Hey, maybe you should do this. Start
type.
A Shelley Tidbit blog. And just do your tidbits.
I think I will.
You're off the list. You're off the text messaging list.
Anyway, I know we kind of messed around on this quite a bit.
It was pretty good, though, dude.
It was good.
Very good message. I enjoyed it. It made me think, and it, you know, kind of lit a fire in me.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out to me the most in the message was... And it stood out to me this morning as I was going through it. And really, it's probably stood out. A lot of the message has been thoughts I've been thinking about for the last week. And the thing that stood out the most was that scripture, is there not a cause? And probably that drives the decision-making process. You know, having a cause drives that decision, because when you grab a hold of something that's bigger than you are and you really just grab it, you know, like you did in high school, then you go after it, you know? And to me, it keeps you from making decisions in the opposite way. You know, that's why they say kids that do sports, for the most part, more of them don't get involved in drugs and alcohol and stuff. Why? Because they're living a cause that's bigger than themselves. And when we have a cause, when we have something we're passionate about, it helps line up our decisions. You know, and me and you talked about this, of how, you know, we've taught this whole decision thing in the past, but this is a new, unique way of doing it.
Yeah, and it's different.
We're really focusing on decisions determine your destiny.
I mean, it's in I know we're going to wrap this up real quick, but it's so true with young people, man. You know, you make a choice, and it's not just one choice, one situation, and then that's it. The choice you make has repercussions, whether they're good or whether they're bad. You know, so the choices that these young people are making right now at this critical age are definitely going to affect down the road. So I'm done. I know we've been talking and rambling for a long time. Do y'all got anything to add, or Ms. Stokes?
Can you see, Shelly, how, you know, having that cause, being a part of something, that it does play into the decision factor, mm-hmm. you know, thing? And can you remember back in your high school days, anything you were, you know, you felt like it was something bigger than you, and it helped you in your decision making, you know, help you make the right decisions? I think it's Juno. When you're here.
Dude, I was trying to wrap it up, and then you had to put her on the spot. That was your bad, bro. I was like, hey, y'all got anything to add? And you could have been, oh, that's cool. Let's, But then you had to keep on. So, hey, you know, what are you going to do? And I try to be quiet because nobody likes to hear me. Wow.
Why should he make that decision? Because this is going to shut down and she's going to shut you down.
Yep. I'm not saying another word.
That was the sound of Juno. Mike hitting the floor. So, anyway, good night, don't you think, Shelly? Good night. We gave away what tonight? We gave away 6 movie passes. And how did we do that? Do you remember?
We put all the names in a bucket.
We gave 2, actually, we did a whole thing to help our teens invite their friends, and so we gave 2 away to the person who brought the most guests this week, and then we gave some away to our guests, and then we gave 2 to our whole thing. And it was really neat at the end. Juno has his mic and he can't pick it up, but we asked everybody to be okay. You know, it was just really for the guests, but we asked everybody to be okay if we put all the names together, and it still ended up being a first-time guest that got a movie ticket. And it was neat. And the real unique thing that stood out to me, Shelley, was that the girl who brought the most guests lives 30 miles away from here.
That's pretty cool.
And, you know, that just shows you that no matter where you're at, or you can make a difference. And live that cause that's bigger than yourself. Right, Shelley?
Right.
Anyway, we're having this contest, and we haven't decided, and probably we'll get to next week, and we'll do absolutely nothing anyway, because it kind of has been boring anyway. It hadn't been no fun.
I don't think anyone cares.
I think so, too. So, you want to call the contest off? Okay.
No, I want to
get you all the
vegetables.
Oh. Here's the deal. If nobody emails us this week by Monday, especially, and everybody in this room right now, they can't email, because my wife will then email me and say she wants to do something. But if somebody out there in podcast land emails us and says, keep the contest going, then we'll keep it going. So if you want the contest to continue, email Pastor J. Curl. That's the word pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, the letter J, C-U-R-L, @gmail.com. Hey, guys, want to know more about Elevate? Go to our myspace.com/ElevateYouthCC. And thanks out there for all of you listeners. Shelly already said bye. Juno's out of here. And you guys, peace out. Oh, my God.
How many of you guys ever seen a high wire act? Whether it be at a circus or on TV or something where, you know, the guys are on a high wire and they're kind of balancing and stuff like that. And sometimes they have like a pole where they hold on to try and balance themselves so they won't fall. Well, that wire that they're balancing on is, I guess, maybe about this thick around. Not that much for a whole person to be balancing on. And it takes practice, practice, practice for them to perfect their act. And I've even seen some where, you know, they're on it and they don't have a safety net underneath them. And it's kind of crazy, you know. Most of them have a safety net, so where if they fall, you know, it's cool. I even remember seeing this one high wire act where a dude did it from one building to another building with no safety net. And unfortunately, that dude didn't make it because he fell off. Well, if you think about it, guys, that's a lot how life can be sometimes. Life can be a balancing act sometimes. With school, homework, friends, relationships, parents. It's crazy. I've been there just like you. I'm not that far away from y'all. And it gets tough at times to have to balance everything out. Sometimes it almost gets too much to handle. You know? And you're doing your best at life, trying to balance, trying to have everything, trying to please everybody, trying your best not to fall off. But sometimes we do. And here's the good part. That safety net represents God. So sometimes when you fall and sometimes when it's too much to handle, you girls in the back, I'm trying to listen up. This is very serious. Sometimes when you fall, it hurts. But here's a scary thing, guys, and this is kind of what Pastor Jay was touching on. Some people are walking through life. Some people are trying to balance life without that safety net. They're trying to balance all these things going on in this world without God. So when they fall and they crash and they stumble, sometimes they don't make it. A lot of the times they don't. And these are friends that are going to your schools. These are people that you see on an everyday basis. And that's serious. How many of y'all know some friends that are going through life and are going through the same problems, the same things that y'all are going through? But the thing is, you have a net. So if you fall, it's cool. But your buddies, if they fall, what's going to happen to them? So let's reach out, guys. Let's make decisions in life that are going to try and not only get you through life, but what about your buddy? You know? Let's not be so selfish at times, and let's start caring about our friends and getting them here to Elevate and sharing God. Because sometimes, and as true and as scary as this is, the only Jesus they're going to see is what you show them. So let's think of others, guys. All right, hold up your envelopes. I'll pray and we'll keep on going.
But when I graduated high school in 1988, I was in the National Honor Society. I graduated with honors and was in the top 10% of my class. Actually, at number 11, I was in the top. I graduated number 11 in my class, top 10% of my class. That wouldn't be 10%, dude. I'm not even telling you the percentage, but I was number 11, and it was more than 100. So, thank you, John. I love you too, John. I was even in your dress, John. So don't think anything funny, guys. Okay, anyway, ADD. I was fully confident in my ability to do well in college. Fully confident. I would soon be in for a rude awakening. A rude awakening. By the end of my second year in college, I'd failed courses and had under a 2.5 average. I knew I needed to change if I was going to finish and receive my degree. I knew there was going to be something had to happen. I knew I was going to have to make some changes. I knew that I was going to need to make a decision. How does an honor grad at the top of his class go to almost failing out in college? For me, I'll be honest with you, high school was easy. I won't lie, I slept through trig class and still made an A. I don't know if any of y'all have done that. Trig. Slept through trig and made an A. That was my nap period, trig. I didn't even have to try to get 90s. I didn't even have to try. I never took book home. I never. My study period was the class before the actual class. But when I went to college, that same kind of attitude would not fly. That same kind of attitude not only wouldn't fly, but it crashed me big time. Because again, by my second semester, I was already failing. And I was in jeopardy of failing out of college. Honor grad to failing. See, if I was going to do better, especially in my latter years in college, I knew I was going to have to make a decision to be determined. See, and tonight we're in the middle of our D-Factor series, where decisions determine your destiny, and our message tonight is called the Determined Factor. You see, all this month we've been talking about decisions and the D-Factor. And up to this point, we have looked at how decisions dominate our lives, that every day we wake up. We wake up and we make decisions. We make thousands of decisions each day, decision after decision after decision. And in our first message, our big idea was that we needed to weigh our consequences because our decisions will determine our destiny. We need to weigh our consequences. We need to sit down and look and say, what's going to be the long-term effect to this decision? Because every decision I make is going to have a consequence. And then last week, if you were here, or if you weren't, we started looking at the factors of decisions. And we focused in last week on the decision factor. And we talked about how the decision factor is that our values, the things we value the most, play a big part in us making a decision, which is why we must let God's word form our convictions. Because of the fact that we can't trust our conscience, because just because we think it's okay doesn't necessarily mean it's okay. And so we've got to allow God's word to form our convictions or our strong beliefs. You see, this whole decision-making process is huge for us. Don't get me wrong tonight, teens, and don't let anyone fool you. We live in a fractured society. The society that you live in, and you know this, is a fractured society. It is not the same as the 1950s, and you know, praise God, because I wouldn't have liked the music in the 1950s. Not me. I mean, I don't even like the music anymore from the 80s, and that's what's my music. I like current stuff. But we live in a fractured society, and much of it is fractured because of decisions. Think about it. Why else do you think that 50%, listen to this number, I don't care if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, 50% of all marriages in America end in divorce. That means as you're going out into life, you have a 50-50 chance that your marriage will end in divorce, whether you're a Christian or not. Christian marriages have a 50% divorce rate. Our society as a whole, all of America, has a 50% divorce rate. You live in a fractured society. And you know where that starts with? Guess where it starts? Decisions. Do you know when the decision to divorce starts? Do you think it starts in the middle of a marriage? What do you think? The beginning of it? The end of it? Okay. Lots of things out there. Let me tell you where it starts. It starts right now for you. The decision to divorce starts right now while you're a teenager.
No.
Yeah. Listen to me. It starts right now in your teen years as you date. You see, our culture, listen to me, your culture, our culture tells you to go out and date a lot of people and to find Mr. or Mrs. Right. You need to go out and date a bunch of people and find Mr. or Mrs. Right. That's what your culture says. Guess what? You might not like this. That is a surefire method to ending your marriage and divorce. That's a surefire method to end your marriage and divorce. Listen to me, teenagers. I'm tired of people getting divorced at 50 in America. You should be too. You should not want to go out into this world with a chance of a 50% divorce rate. But it starts right now in how you date. And tonight is not all about dating. But why? Listen. Here, I'll tell you why. In order to date a lot of people, you have to do what? Guess. Do you know? Break up. Who said that? In order to date a lot of people, you got to break up with a lot of people. Guys, don't get me going tonight. Because I'll just get Juno and he'll walk your rear end out of here. You hear me, Juno? See, instead of practicing a lifetime of commitment, you see, that's what marriage is. Marriage is not about breaking up. It's not. Marriage is about a lifetime of commitment. And what do we do as teenagers? As teenagers, we date and we find somebody we think we like, or, ooh, they look good. I'm going to go out with them. And then we break up. And then we find somebody else. And then we break up. And then we find somebody else. And then we break up. Does that sound like practicing lifetime commitment? No, it doesn't. And see, here's the big thing about breaking up. I learned a long time ago. In fact, I learned this the first time it ever happened to me. Breaking up is hard to do. Breaking up is hard to do. But you know what? The more you did, the more you do it, the more you do it, guess what it gets? Easier and easier. Thus, instead of preparing for a lifetime of committing to one person, you have prepared for divorce. That's all you've prepared for. Instead of preparing to stay with somebody, all you have done is prepared for divorce. They say the average person has 10 partners before they're married. 10. That means they broke up 9 at least times. Actually 10, because if they had 10 before they got married, number 10 was the breakup. You explain to me how that's preparing you for marriage. You see, it starts with decisions. It starts with decisions right now. That's why I'm saying decisions determine your destiny. Decisions determine your destiny. See, I'm tired of young people throwing their lives away. I don't want to see it no more. And you know what? You should be tired of it too. You should be tired of it too. You should be tired of your friends throwing their lives away. No? Man, I'm all up in your face tonight, aren't I? Whoo! Smile at me. It's okay. I'm not going to be rough all night. Oh, but I hear this. That will never happen to me. I got it under control, Pastor Jay. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. How many of those 50% of marriages that end in divorce think, how many of you think they said that to? I'll never get divorced. It'll never happen to me. Do you think 50% of marriages went into that knowing they were going to get a divorce. I guarantee you 100% of those didn't. They went in thinking it was going to be okay. And again, I'm not talking on dating and all that stuff, because we're going to get into that probably this coming school year. But see, we continue down this same path week after week, year after year. And I'm here tonight to say that it's time for a group of teenagers to stand up and say, we're going to start breaking this trend. We're going to start creating a new America. Even if we can't control everybody else, we can walk out of here and I can know that 70 teenagers, at least they are not going to end in divorce. That's my hope. And that should be yours. See, we're going to make a decision. We need to make a decision and be determined about it. When I think of determined, I think of someone who's passionate. In fact, the first picture when I thought about determined, I thought about a bulldog. That's what I thought about. I thought about a bulldog. I remember in high school, we used to drive across town to the baseball field for practice, and there was this guy that had this pit bulls. And every day he'd be out there playing with his pit bulls, and he used to have this little rope, and that bulldog would bite it, and he'd actually swing around and around and around. That bulldog would never let go. It would hang on to it right there. It would just chomp down, and it wasn't gonna let go. And that's what I picture when I think about determination. That's what I think about when I see or think about being determined. That is the picture in my mind, because I remember it so vividly, so vividly. That pit bull would not let go. It was determined. And that's why tonight we're going to talk about the determined factor. We're going to talk about the determined factor. How have you ever thought about the things you're most determined with? Have you ever thought about the things you have the most determination with? You ever thought about that? Maybe think about it right now for a second. What are the things you have the most determination about? What are they? What are the things? Is it shooting basketballs? You know? Is it cars? Is it your, some of you, it might be your schoolwork. You're real determined. There's a determination. What are those things? Can you think of any decisions that you made that were based on something you were passionate about? Can you think about that? Think about some of the decisions you made. Were they made on things you were passionate about? Do you realize that determination plays a huge role in our decision-making process? It plays a huge role. I have the personality. This is my type of personality. I have the type of personality that if you tell me I can't do it, guess what? I'm going to show you that it can be done. I'm going to show you that it can be done. I will do it. I will do it. Kind of like the guy that's in this clip. See, that guy was a picture of determination, man. He was determined. He was going to get that Rubik's Cube, and nothing was going to stop him, was it? And you know what? Not only that, but he lived a determined life. He was gonna be successful. He was gonna get his family out of the situation. He was driven. And that drove the decisions that he made. And because of it, he achieved a great destiny. Look in your notes. Robert Half said this: when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. And that's why tonight our big idea is this: reaching my destiny by being determined. I'm going to reach my destiny by being determined. If I live, I'm going to live a determined life so that I can reach my destiny. Being driven or determined is important in our decision-making process. Tommy Lasorda If you know who he was, famous baseball coach, New York Yankees, said this: the difference between the impossible and the possible lies in a man's determination. You see, the things we are passionate about are the things that drive us to make decisions. Why do people choose a certain major in college? You guys are seniors. You're choosing what major you're going to get. Why do you choose the one you're going to choose? Because you're passionate about it. Because you like it, right? It's something you have a passion for. If you like helping people and helping is something that you really love doing, you'll probably go into a service field like a nurse or a doctor or you know, psychologist or something like that. You'll go into that kind of area. If you like numbers and or science or something like that, you'll go into an area for that. So you make a decision based on something you're passionate about. What are you passionate about? Let me throw this one in you. You know when Elevate will really take off? You know when Elevate, when all these chairs will be full? You know when we have to add more rows and we work Tommy and his team, you know, and they have to set up even more stuff each week? You know when that'll happen? Very good. It's when you become really passionate about making it happen. And you know, there are some kids here, I tell you every week, you're my heroes because you're making it happen. But you see, it's not going to explode when four of y'all do it. It's not going to explode when you got half over here that says, oh, that half, it's up to you. It's going to explode when we do it. It's going to take off when we do it, when we all have a passion about it, when we all go after it, when we are all determined to make it happen. Because determination drives our decision. And when you get determined to make this happen, guess what? Elevate's going to explode. And I don't know about you. I am waiting for that day. I don't know about you. But I am waiting for it to happen. And it doesn't have to wait till next year. It doesn't have to wait till 2 years from now. It can happen now. Let's look at some examples in the Bible of some people who were determined and how it shaped their destiny. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if you don't have your Bible, it's okay because I put it in your notes tonight. And let's look at a guy named Paul who was determined, and because of that, it shaped his destiny. Now look at Paul. Paul was a guy who, if he wanted to, he could have said this. He could have said, God, you can never use me. God, I've screwed up so much. God, I quit. I've messed up too much. Paul could have said that. But in his own words, he says it like this. Read there in your notes with me. It says, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof. Public sinner number one of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. See, this is a guy who, before he committed to follow Christ, Paul was a Christian hitman. He was a Christian hitman. He used to go out and put hits out on Christians. He used to go out and he'd get the posse, and they would throw, and they would get all their rocks, because that's how they did it back then. And they'd get their rocks, and they'd find a Christian, and they'd stone them to death. And they'd just throw rocks and hit them with these rocks and kill them. That was what Paul's job was. His job was to kill Christians. And this is a guy that was religious. He read the Bible. He wasn't a Christian, but he read the Bible, and he knew the Bible inside and out, and he just knew that Christ and all that was not the right way to go. And so he would kill Christians. That was his job. I think I've said this before. How many of y'all kind of figure God would probably be mad at him if there's anybody? I mean, if there's anybody to be mad at the dude who kills Christians. Right? I mean, come on. The guy kills Christians. I mean, these are people that love God. Shouldn't God just like, that's the guy you strike with lightning, God? I'm sure everybody was praying, God, okay, you know, dude, that the guy Paul, he's on my track, man. Shoot some lightning down. Make a tree fall on him or something. You know? Send the Roman something. Let him cross the wrong path and get hit with a spear or something. Just do something, God. He kills Christians. We're your people. I could see people praying that, couldn't you? Wouldn't you? Somebody was coming to kill you. Would you be there? Okay, come find me. I'm here. Take your best shot. I'll dodge every one of those. Come on, folks. This is a guy that, man, it would have been easy for him to throw a pity party and say, God, you're never going to use me. You can never use a person like me. It would have been easy, but that's not what Paul said. See, Paul was determined not to let that happen. In fact, here's his words when he was at the end of his journey. He wrote it like this, 2 Timothy 4 in your notes, 6 or 7. It says, you take over. He's writing this to Timothy. He said, you take over. I'm about to die. My life an offering on God's altar. Here's the key words. This is the only race worth running. I've run hard right to the finish. Believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. Man, can you hear the passion? Can you hear the determination right there? I mean, listen to what Paul is saying. See, we must be determined like him. That is why he could get to the end and say it was worth it. Because he ran all the way to the finish line. He didn't stop. See, that's important. You've got to finish. You've got to run all of the way to the finish line. Not like this guy. This guy didn't do it. See, he didn't finish. He was celebrating. And what did he do? He crashed and got second place. You know, it's important that we run all the way to the finish. That's why Paul said it. Listen to it. He said, I've run hard right to the finish. Believed all the way. He's believed all the way. And folks, that's passion. And that kind of passion and that kind of determination will shape your destiny. See, you've got to be determined in your walk. You have got to be determined in your walk. Turn quickly in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. I got just a few minutes. I'm going to go fast. Y'all believe that? You got more faith than me. 1 Samuel 17. I love this story. Everybody heard the story of David and Goliath? Who hasn't heard of David and Goliath? Okay, come on. Listen, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this story, but I'm going to set the stage. Here it is. Israelites are at war with the Philistines. Two countries at war. Israelites, Philistines. Goliath was the Philistine champion who walked out every day, and the way they did it is they would send one champion in order for everybody not to die. They would send one champion, and that champion would fight the champion of the other side, and whoever won that would be the winner and get the victory and thus all the spoils. And so Goliath was this 9-foot-tall giant warrior who all his life fought and did nothing but war from the time he was little. He was just trained in war. And so this 9-foot-tall giant out there, and he's screaming at the Israelites, send out, we're going to beat you, you know, bring somebody out. For days and weeks he did this and nobody would come out. So David, one day he's coming, he's bringing food to his brothers. He hears what's going on and David goes postal on this giant, man. He gets out this machine gun. Not a machine gun. He gets these rocks. He gets a sling. Man, he goes postal on it, dude. He's like, what? Guys talking trash about us? What? I mean, this is a teenager. I mean, any teenage boy stand up in here, that's David. 17 years old, and I don't even think I'm reaching that high. 9-foot giant warrior. And David says, say what? What are you talking about? Man, I'm going to get all up on your grill, man. Come on, bring it on. I don't even need armor. I'm taking you out, man. You talk trash about us, I'm going to come get you. David gets mad. He gets angry. And he's like going around saying, what in the world? What's going on? What's going on, guys? Why are you letting him talk like that? Why are you letting him talk about our mama like that? You know? It's like, what are you doing? He's mad. And he says this remarkable statement. I want you to look at it real quick with me. 1 Samuel, I think I got it up here. This is why David was so passionate. And he said this in verse 29. David said, what have I done now? His brothers were like questioning me. He's like, why are you all over me? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that somebody doesn't stand up and take this giant out? Is there not a cause? Why are you sitting there letting this guy talk like that? Isn't there a cause that somebody's going to step up and do something about this? Is there not a cause? Man, that was David. You see, David did that because David lived out a cause in his life that was bigger than himself. See, that is the problem with most churches and most youth ministries today. We got a bunch of people that want to come to church, they want to sit in a pew, they want to get fed, then they want to go home. That's a problem with church today. Listen to me. Church isn't about you coming, sitting on your rear end in those chairs, and doing nothing. Church is not like that. Man, you should get fired up with me here. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Young people are dying every day. Little babies are dying every day because young men can't keep it, you know. And little babies are getting aborted every day. Is there not a cause? Man, your friends are getting drunk and they're driving or they're doing drugs and they OD or they're screwing up their life. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause big enough for us to get out of our seats and start doing something about it? Y'all hear me tonight? See, most people, here's what they want. They want the pastor to know them. Oh, Pastor Jay, you got to know me and shake my hand every week. And you got to come to my sporting events. And when I graduate, you got to be there. And that's not one person. That's everybody. All 120 of you. Is that realistic? Think about it. Come on. Work with me here. Is that realistic? Can I possibly be at everything that every one of you do? Can your pastor, as you grow up one day and you get into church, can he be at everything in your life? No, he can't. And you know what? God hasn't called him to do that. He's called you to grow yourself. It's not your youth pastor's job to come up here and this be the only thing that you hear all week. It's not my job to be a 30-minute message and hope you change the world. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen when you get into your Bible every day. That's when it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you get your rear end up on Sunday morning and you get over here and you get into Compass class. And you dig in. That's what we're doing right now. It's called dig in. It's not going to happen with you snoozing. Folks, while you snooze, people die. While you snooze Sunday morning, I can't get out of bed, I'm too tired, I stayed up all night. Then go to bed early. Or just suck it up. Am I too in your face tonight, or is there not a cause? Is there not a big enough cause in this place? See, because I don't want you to grow up and be like the rest of the church in America. I don't want you to grow up and hope that some pastor spoon-feeds you all your life. Because that ain't church. And that ain't real. And that ain't real for you. Y'all hear me? You need to grow yourself. That's why I'm passionate about this. You need to grow yourself. You need to work on yourself. You know, I don't leave it up to Pastor Rod to grow me. I get in my Bible and I study. I don't study just because I got to preach to you every Wednesday. I want to grow. I want to be better. I read and I study to be better in myself. See, is there not a cause? That's why as we apply this, and I'm wrapping up. Josh, come be ready. Our application tonight is this. You need to live a cause bigger than yourself. That is what David did. And do you realize that David went on after this battle to win the heart of the Israelites? And he ended up becoming the king? What a destiny. Imagine if David would have just said, "Oh no, he's bigger than me. What am I going to do?" David wouldn't have achieved his destiny. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to go and become a king, because it's not going to happen in America. But what I'm saying is that God has something great destined for your life. God has something huge destined for you. But how many of us are running to our destiny? How many of you are running to your destiny like Paul did? I run the race. I run to the finish line. How many of you are doing that? Or how many of you are ruining your destiny? I ain't stupid. Youth ministry this side, I know there's plenty of kids in here that probably go out on Saturday night, get drunk, and then they walk up in here and elevate and act all godly. Give me a break. You're ruining your destiny. I don't have to be an intelligent man to realize that. And you're ruining your life. You're ruining your destiny. God has something better for you, man. You hear me? God has something great for you, girls. Don't let no boy ruin your destiny. Could you imagine the day when you, because of the passion you have and the determination you have to live a cause bigger than yourself, your marriage stays together, your kids excel, you have the job of your dreams, and you love it, and you get involved in a church, and you change the world? Can you imagine that one day? Folks, your decisions will determine your destiny. And at the very end of your life, you can sit there and say, just like Paul, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." See, you will reach your destiny when you live a cause bigger than yourself by being determined.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Podcast. For more information on Elevate, log on to www.myspace.com/ElevateYouthCC.